Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. The topic of today's episode are what I'm going to term as land-to-hand artifact fetches, also known as artifacts that help you fetch lands from your deck and put them into your hand. I got inspiration for this episode from a couple of different places on the day that I recorded this, one of being J-Roe, who is one of my very good friends who's been on the podcast a couple of times. He posted a poll on Twitter earlier today regarding what would be the worst situation out of three possible options, with those three possible options being going fourth in a multiplayer four-player pod, so obviously going last in the turn order, mulliganing, you know, down to five or six cards after a series of bad hands that you've thrown away, or missing a land drop. And that really got me thinking about trying to be able to get lands to hand, trying to make sure that you have card advantage by being able to play a land for every turn, and the power that you can have by being able to hit all your land drops throughout a Commander game. I also got inspiration a little bit earlier today from Commander Replay, who also posted a very hot take on Twitter that really struck me as being something that I think I wanted to talk about. And that is the concept that Armillary Sphere, which is an artifact that you can pay two and tap for and sacrifice to be able to get two basic lands out of your deck and put them in your hand, could actually be better than the gold standard of the artifact getting lands tutor Wayfarer's Bauble. Obviously, this is a very contentious topic, and I understand that there are definitely a lot of dissenting opinions, differentiating opinions, honestly, on this fact, but it's definitely something that I wanted to talk about more in detail. So before I get to the meat of the subject today, I'm going to give a quick overview of exactly what I mean by a land-to-hand artifact fetch. Obviously, the fetch lands are typically considered to be some of the pinnacles of land fetches in a lot of formats, maybe not in Commander so much since we're such an open format, but in a lot of other formats like Modern, the fetch lands are basically the bedrock, if you will, along with the shock lands, of being able to ensure that you have hit your mana correctly to be able to play your spells. Now, what's interesting about the fetch lands versus something like a shock land is the fact that they require an additional activation cost in order for you to be able to get that land. So that's what I took into consideration for this particular episode, because I wanted to look at artifacts that required an activation plus a tap cost to be able to go find you an artifact, whether that's to go to the battlefield or to your hand. Now, again, the gold standard for this, like I mentioned a moment ago, is Wayfarer's Bauble. Obviously, it's a very popular artifact. It's gotten way up there in price, but it hasn't been reprinted in a long time except in the list. But again, that's really not a full reprint, so we're not really going to talk about that. But it's effectively, if you don't know what Wayfarer's Bauble is, it's a one-cost artifact. You can pay two and tap it to basically ramp and growth a basic land out of your deck and put it onto the battlefield tapped. So again, this is going to be your ramp and growth, your Harrow, just pretty standard green-type ramp. You know, you're going to be sacrificing the Wayfarer's Bauble probably on turn two or three. Hopefully, obviously, you try to get it down on turn one. It only costs one. So you're able to get it down on your first turn as long as you don't miss a land drop, and hopefully if you hit a land drop on your second turn, you're able to ramp just like a rampant growth. So if you are able to play your cards correctly, Wayfarer's Bauble is able to give you a land, an extra land on turn two, turn three, and help you ramp in that way. And this can be extremely important for decks that don't run green and don't really have a whole lot of other ways to be able to ramp lands into play. However, I want to make it very clear that Wayfarer's Bauble may not be the best card suited for a lot of different circumstances. And that's why I wanted to talk about land-to-hand artifact fetches. So the ones that I wanted to talk about today were the following. Obviously, Armillary Sphere, which I mentioned earlier, two-drop artifact to pay two and tap and sacrifice it to be able to find two basic lands out of your hand, or out of your library, excuse me, and be able to put them in your hand, as well as both the cards Wanderer's Twig, which costs one, and you pay one and you sacrifice it. Again, you don't have to tap this one, but you can search your land for a basic land card, reveal and put it in your hand, as well as Traveler's Amulet, which does the exact same thing. There's also a different version in Horizon Spellbomb, a one-cost artifact that you can tap, and pay two, sacrifice a Spellbomb, search your library for a basic land, reveal and put it in your hand. But this one also, obviously, since it has a green mana symbol in it, you can also draw a card if you pay an additional green and you sacrifice it. So it has a bit of a different connotation in there, and you can only play it in decks that are running green, but it does have some value. And obviously there's Expedition Map, which is a multi-format all-star. Pay one, or a one-man artifact, pay two, tap it and sacrifice, so you can find any land card. Again, it doesn't have to be a basic land card in this case. And you can reveal it, put it in your hand, shuffle your library afterwards. And then there's the creature version of this one, and something that I feel a lot of people are definitely sleeping on these days, especially in decks that don't ramp very well, and you want to make sure you have the mana available to play in future turns, Pilgrim's Eye. Pilgrim's Eye is a 3-mana, 1/1 artifact Thopter creature with flying. And when it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, and put it into your hand. One of the core tenets of being an EDH/Commander player is knowing how to generate card advantage in your deck throughout games. Again, card advantage can be defined in many different ways. It can be defined as simply drawing a card. You could scry cards. You could, again, tutor cards from your hand directly on the battlefield or into your hand. Or there's just so many ways to be able to generate card advantage or what we consider card advantage that I'm really not going to go over a lot of those. But again, I wanted to stress that the most important thing in Magic before you can do anything, before you can play any spells, any combos, anything like that, you're going to need lands. Now, obviously, there's the rule in place where you can only play one land per turn. That's in order to make sure everyone basically has a level playing field. But again, the fact is, in EDH, is that if you miss a land drop, you are definitely behind the rest of your pod. There is no doubt that as soon as you miss even one land drop, you're already potentially 2-3 turns behind your opponents, especially if they're playing green with heavy ramp packages, and that can spell disaster for any sort of deck that doesn't really have a lot of ways to be able to get lands in their hand outside of just drawing into them. And in certain colors, again, this definitely includes mono white, as if you've been listening to my series with both Coach J-Ro, as well as Peter/Mono White border on the advantages of Mono White, you probably heard that I did bring a Pilgrim's Eye there as a potential form of card advantage to make up for Mono White's fairly notable lack of what we would consider good ramp options. And again, you're going to want to be able to make sure that you're able to play lands on every turn of the game. Again, this doesn't matter if you're playing CEDH, whether you're only playing 3 or 4 turns in a lot of cases, whether you're playing a standard optimized game, you know, somewhere between 7 to 10 turns, or whether you're playing my favorite, which is Battlecruiser Magic, where you're playing potentially 1.5 to 2 hour long games with a whole bunch of, you know, what we consider maybe lower powered decks, but just, you know, everyone's kind of doing their own thing and you have a lot of fun doing that. But again, in all three of those situations, you want to make sure that you have lands available in your hand to be able to play every turn. Now, obviously, green has more access to this sort of thing through things like Azusa, Lost But Seeking, allows you to play more lands per turn. Mien and Den, Wildborn allow you to put extra lands into play, things like that. But again, if you don't have those lands to put in from your hand into play, a lot of those cards, your explorations, your walking atlas, they're not going to be as good because you just don't have lands to play. So again, that's why I really wanted to start trying to revisit some of these land-to-hand fetch artifacts, excuse me, in my own decks. Now, I only run a couple of 3-color decks. I've never run a 4-color deck. I've never run a 5-color deck. Most of my decks run in 1 or 2 colors. So I'm typically able to find the lands that I need in other ways. However, again, even though these cards that I mentioned earlier may not be the greatest in mono or 2-color decks, obviously in 3-color decks, you're able to get a lot of value out there because you may not always be able to get the right basic land types to be able to play some of the spells in your hand. So I'm going to use my Alayla Artful Provocateur deck as an example here. The deck itself started out as a mono-blue Psy Master Thopterist build. It was built around artifacts, obviously, trying to build artifacts, swinging in with artifacts to win, getting value off artifacts, things like that. And I eventually decided to move it over to Alayla because I wanted to add black and white into the deck, you know, make it an Esper deck, try something different because she has a ton of card value just stapled onto her as a commander. And what I came to realize as I started playing the deck was that I really wasn't drawing as many planes or swamps as I really wanted to. I was drawing a lot of islands, which is great for a while until you start trying to, you know, play Sun Titan, play Tesha, our Ancestor's Apostle, play things like that. Well, all of a sudden, you can't do that with islands. So I started looking at some of these cards again. looked specifically at Wanderer's Twig in particular, and thought, okay, you know, sometimes I'm not able to draw the right cards I need, sometimes my draw engines aren't online, what can I do that still works in Alayla's color palette to be able to try to get more lands to my hand? And I was able to successfully integrate Wanderer's Twig specifically into that deck. Obviously, Traveler's Amulet does the exact same thing, so again, you can choose your pick on whether you like the art or whatever set it's from, whatever. But the fact is I started throwing Wanderer's Twig into that deck because not only does it allow me to get a basic land into my hand, which again, if I don't have my draw engines online and I'm starting to miss land drops, all of a sudden I'm behind the rest of the table, which definitely hampers my ability to do the things that I want to do. But it also triggers Alayla's ability. It's an artifact you're playing on the battlefield for a single mana, and you're able to get a 1-1 blue fairy creature token, which then Alayla pumps up to a 2-1 because it has flying. So all of a sudden, I'm not only able to get an artifact, which I'm able to fetch a land from my deck into my hand, which allows me to not miss a land drop, but all of a sudden, I'm getting extra value off of Alayla. One of the big all-stars I've really started to come around on a lot of lately, obviously, is Pilgrim's Eye, that 3-3, the 1-1 flyer for converted mana cost 3 that allows you to get the land to hand fetch on a 1-1 flying body. And I was really lukewarm on this card when I first saw it. Obviously, we as Commander players, we like talking about direct tutoring for lands, putting them into play. I have green decks. I know Rampant Growth. I know a lot of those different kinds of things where you're playing a sorcery, something like that. You're getting a land out of your deck and you're putting it onto the battlefield directly. Now, it's tapped, so typically, unless you have some Amulet of Vigor or something like that, you're not going to be able to use it that turn. But the fact is, Pilgrim's Eye gets you that basic land that you're going to need to your hand. And it was really when I started trying to build monocolor decks, especially the ones that didn't involve green, didn't have a lot of fetching capabilities, that I really started to see the value of Pilgrim's Eye in itself. No, it does not get you a land directly into play like Wayfarer's Bauble, but all of a sudden, unlike the Bauble, you're not only getting that basic land into your hand, but you're also getting a 1-1 flying body with it. And all of a sudden, I really started to realize, hey, in some of my decks where I don't have a whole lot of ramp here, all of a sudden I'm able to guarantee that I hit my land drop that turn or next turn, so I'm generating that card advantage that I really need in colors like white or red that don't always have the best options for being able to draw a ton of cards. But I also have a 1-1 flying body out there that I can use to attack or defend with. And that really opened up my eyes to the land-to-hand fetches. It made me start trying to look more into what I could do with these sorts of things. Because yes, you have to sacrifice most of them. Yes, some of them have an additional cost to be paid, but the fact is that you do not want to be missing your land drops, especially in those colors that don't necessarily have a whole ton of options to be able to allow you to draw a ton of cards. So you have to get creative with getting lands to hand to make sure they're able to keep up with your opponents and play a bunch of spells. Well, not as ubiquitous as Pilgrim's Eye, I would say. I still think that Wanderer's Twig and Traveler's Amulet, which do the exact same thing, have a place in a lot of decks that maybe people haven't really thought of before. So obviously you're paying one to play the artifact, and then you're paying one and sacrificing the twig or the amulet to be able to search your land or search your library for that basic land put in your hand. Well, this can be great for trying to set yourself up for future turns, especially if you found yourself flush with three or four lands in your opening hand, something like that. But if you somehow are stuck on lands, you know, all of a sudden you can still play that on turn two, and you're able to get that second land drop that you need to then be able to at least have some open mana available for that turn or for the next turn. So even if you're not able to get that land on the battlefield like with Wayfarer's Bauble, you're still generating card advantage. And I feel like that's exactly what a lot of people are forgetting about when it comes to these land-to-hand fetch artifacts, is the fact that you are guaranteeing the fact that you're going to hit your next land drop. And obviously, I'm just going to come out and say it here. These do not replace Rampant Growth. They do not replace Wayfarer's Bauble. However, I would consider these to be some form of ramp because you're guaranteeing that card advantage, you're guaranteeing that you're having those lands. So while it's not necessarily ramp in the traditional sense, I would consider it some more of like card advantage slash ramp, is that you're finding the exact lands you need to be able to get on the battlefield. So even if you are playing in green, if you're playing a two-color deck, let's say a Gruul deck, you know, you have red and green. Well, all of a sudden red, it may not get you the cards you need by drawing them, but all of a sudden, if you're just flooded out with forests and you can't find your rampant growth, all of a sudden Wanderer's Twig could help you find that mountain that you really need to get into your hand. Or maybe you just have some other, perhaps you have something like a Walking Atlas on the field. Let's say you have a Landfall deck, you have Walking Atlas on the field, and all of a sudden you run out of gas. You don't have enough lands in your hand or to be able to play it. Well, all of a sudden you can just play a Wanderer's Twig, something like that. Boom. You effectively draw a card off of these things. It's the exact same thing as Wayfarer's Bauble. You're drawing a card out of your deck by tutoring for it. Now, obviously, you're only getting a basic land, so your value is limited in some ways, if you want to look at it that way. But the fact of the matter still remains. You're getting a card out of your deck, and you're able to also shuffle your deck if you really need to, in case you didn't shuffle earlier, in case you're just getting a bad draw. You're getting that shuffle effect, and you're just getting so much value off having that land card in your hand to be able to utilize that turn, next turn, or a couple turns down the road. Doesn't matter. You have that flexibility with Wanderer's Twig and Traveler's Amulet that you may not necessarily have with Wayfarer's Bauble. Obviously, later in the game, these sorts of things don't really work out, and that's, again, why I really enjoy Pilgrim's Eye or Horizon Spellbomb versus just looking at Wayfarer's Bauble. Because once you get to maybe turn 10 or something, Wayfarer's Bauble is probably not going to do much for you. But if you look at Pilgrim's Eye, again, it's a 1-1 flyer. Well, you know, you're getting that land into your hand, and you're also getting the flyer, which could, you know, be somewhat relevant as a blocker by that point. Or Horizon Spellbomb allows you to draw a card. Well, all of a sudden, that I feel like you're getting a lot more advantage off of those variants than you are off Wayfarer's Bauble at that point in the game. And now, again, we're talking about different power levels, different ways to play the game, so obviously this isn't going to hold true for all decks, all situations, etc., etc. But again, I didn't record this episode to try to demonstrate how Armillary Sphere or Wanderer's Twig, Traveler's Amulet are better than Wayfarer's Bauble. That's definitely not what I'm trying to say, but I am trying to demonstrate my point here that card advantage is still obtainable by running these cards, and you should definitely consider running them in some of your other decks. I also wanted to bring up my Karn Silver Golem deck really quickly. I do run a couple of these in that deck, even though I only run about 6 or 7 basic wastes in there, because obviously I'm trying to do some interesting things with that deck, run a whole bunch of utility lands, you know, things that I can sacrifice for value, or, you know, just to try to see if I can get Field of the Dead to run, even though I'm not really trying to ramp too much. It's kind of a Battlecruiser deck, so I'm not really trying to do any crazy combos or anything. I'm just trying to make a bunch of big, dumb artifact creatures and beat people's faces with them using Karn. But I still do run Pilgrim's Eye in that deck, as well as Microsynth Wellspring. And I feel like those are extremely important things to have in that deck, because they provide me with the value that Wayfarer's Bauble may not give me. So again, Pilgrim's Eye gives me that creature that I may really need, especially since that deck is extremely weak to flyers, just because most artifacts don't have flying staple to them, and there aren't a ton of artifact creatures in colorless that have flying. So it not only gets me the land, but also gives me that 1-1 body that is sorely lacking in my deck, and Microsynth Wellspring gives me 2 lands for 2 mana. Now, again, it has to die first in order for me to get that second land. But again, with Karn's ability where I can turn into a 2-2 creature, I can attack with it, I can block with it, and all of a sudden, 2 mana, maybe 3 mana, all of a sudden I'm getting 2 lands to hand. I'm guaranteeing that I'm having 2 wastes in my hand at any given time with that card, which means that I am able to play out things a little bit differently versus if I'm just struggling in top deck mode trying to play some lands. So I feel like in that deck, I'm guaranteeing the fact that I'm going to have lands in my hand to play every turn so that I don't stall out and I don't lose any juice while I'm playing the deck. And again, especially in colorless, where you don't have a whole ton of options for trying to be able to get lands to your hand, it's absolutely vital to make sure that you have a bunch of these options, not just Wayfarer's Bauble, but you have a bunch of different options to be able to get lands either on the battlefield or into your hand to be able to generate that card advantage, keep your momentum going to make sure you can keep up with all the other players in your pod who are playing one of the 5 standard colors of Magic the Gathering. Switching gears a little bit here, I want to give a quick shout out to the guys over at the EDH Reccast. They have been a very formative influence on me as a content creator, and I wanted to do my own Challenge the Stats mini episode here in my own podcast episode to look at how many decks both Wanderer's Twig and Traveler's Amulet are in currently on the EDH Rec website and see what some of their top commanders are. So we're going to start with Wanderer's Twig. It's in a little bit over 1,500 decks currently, and the top commanders include Joyra, Weatherlight Captain, obviously because you can draw a card cantrip off of playing this artifact for one, Gliss of the Traitor, the Golgari Zombie Elf who loves artifacts, Golos Tireless Pilgrim, who is just an extremely strong commander really no matter how you build him, and Emry and Alayla are also on this list along with First Sliver, Elsha of the Infinite, and Amrisi, Breaker of the Coil. Now, I wanted to point out that only 1.35% of almost the 3,700 Alayla decks on the website, which is 50 decks in total, include Wanderer's Twig. And honestly, I really want to challenge that stat specifically. You're running in Esper color, so obviously you don't have access to green. You may not have the best access to lands in your deck. So having an artifact or two that can get you the lands you need into your hand and then be able to trigger Alayla's ability seems like an absolute bomb to me. It's why I run Wanderer's Twig in my Alayla deck specifically, because I want that 2-1 flying body in addition to being able to get that land to my hand. So I feel like this is definitely something where if you have an Alayla deck, if you know someone who has an Alayla deck, maybe you should start considering one of these cards, because they just give you a lot of card advantage in a color combination that may struggle at times to be able to get lands to your hand. Now, when we shift over to Traveler's Amulet, it's in about 6,300 decks, which is quite a few more, obviously, than Wanderer's Twig. But again, that's because Traveler's Amulet has been reprinted more times, so it's more readily available. And again, the top commanders, as we see on here, include Joyra, Dukan Blackblade, who my friend Peter, Mono White Border, is extremely fond of and loves playing that deck. He's actually building that deck right now, so be on the lookout for that on his content stream. And as well as Psy, Master Thopterist. Obviously, you're going to be getting a Thopter on with flying every time you cast an artifact. As well as you see Glissa again. And oddly enough, you actually don't see Alayla in the top 18 commanders on here. So again, I feel like this is definitely an opportunity for Alayla players to maybe be able to slide one more piece of ramp into their deck that also triggers your commander. And I feel like that, honestly, is something that more people really should be doing, because it's a very powerful synergy. You're getting a flyer, you're getting that land to your hand. And if you have any sort of ways to recur this sort of thing, a Sun Titan or anything, all of a sudden you can potentially get 2, 3, 4 uses out of these things and start pulling a whole lot of cards out of your deck. Same with Pilgrim's Eye. All of a sudden you cast Pilgrim's Eye, you're getting that land to hand, you're getting a 1-1 flying body with Pilgrim's Eye, which becomes a 2-1 with Alayla, and you're getting a 2-1 fairy token off of Alayla, all for 3 mana. I mean, there's just so much value oozing off of Alayla that playing one Pilgrim's Eye or one Wanderer's Twig can give you so much more value than just playing a simple Wayfarer's Bauble. And speaking of Pilgrim's Eye is currently included in over 7,000 decks on EDH Rec, which is about 2% of the almost 500,000 decks that it is legal to be played in. And when you look at the top commanders on here, a lot of them are monocolored. So you have Shirae's, Shizo's Caretaker being the top commander. You have Teshar on there as your third most popular commander. You have Sephara, Sky's Blade, again, another very powerful mono-white commander. Kozilek, the Great Distortion, again, running in colorless. Duretti, Sahili the Gifted, Grenzo, Ulamog, and Traxos. So you're just getting a whole lot of commanders who just love either colorless mana or love artifacts specifically, and who are able to really benefit from having an additional form of ramp plus a body in your deck to make sure you're hitting those land drops as well as getting a body on the battlefield that doesn't matter what colors you're running, because it can be run in any deck. And another interesting side note that I have about Pilgrim's Eye is the fact that I actually run a copy of Pilgrim's Eye in my mono-green Titania Protector of Argoth deck. So, again, most of the time people are going to tell you that you don't need the sort of effect in green. Well, in that deck, I actually feel like there is a really good need for it, and here's the reason. Titania really struggles to deal with flyers. I really don't have a whole lot of reach in that deck, and all of a sudden Pilgrim's Eye not only gets a land to my hand, which I can obviously use if I'm not hitting my Rampant Growth type spells, but it also gives me a 1-1 body, which I can deal with. I can deal with flyers a little better while I'm trying to build up my elemental army through the standard deck building strategy that I have, the play strategy that I have in that deck. And if you want to see my Titania deck in action, I just used it a couple of days ago on Colin O'Clock's stream on Twitch. Colin's a great guy. You should check out his content and his game streams. But I was able to utilize Pilgrim's Eye to great effect because it allowed me to get another land to my hand to keep my engine going to make sure I didn't run out of mana at critical junctures throughout the game, and it also made a useful blocker and deterrent for when my opponents had flying block or had flying attackers of their own that I had to potentially deal with. So in that scenario, even though I'm running a mono-green deck and I have better ways to get lands onto the battlefield, Pilgrim's Eye still has a purpose in that deck as a blocker, as well as that card advantage engine when I need it. And just to wrap things up on the cycle of cards a little bit, I also looked up Horizon Spellbomb. Again, that's the green artifact for one, pay two, tap it, sacrifice it to, again, get a land to your hand. And as well as if you pay an additional green, you can also draw a card. And that card is in only 664 decks. Obviously, with the top commanders being Sasaya, Orochi Ascendant, Glissa the Traitor, Moldrotha, and Golos. So again, we see some overlap here with Glissa and Golos, two commanders that just love artifacts, as well as bringing Moldrotha in here, who allows you to be able to play this turn and turn again. And I mean, honestly, Moldrotha is one of the best commanders to have these cards in, because even though you do have access to green, the fact that you're able to play these artifacts over and over and over again means you'll never miss another land drop. You're able to get the exact colors of mana you need on the battlefield, and you can kind of get around needing to have the rampant growths out there that you can't get back from the battlefield, because these artifacts are permanents. You're not going to be able to get Rampant Growth back, but you are going to be able to get Horizon Spellbomb back. You are going to be able to get Wayfarer's Bauble back if you're using that, or Wanderer's Twig, Expedition Map, Pilgrim's Eye, it doesn't matter. You're going to be able to get it back with Moldrotha after you sacrifice it. So that is definitely one of those decks that I would honestly recommend, besides Alayla, that if you're really looking for a way to up your game and make sure you have a lot of Rampant and Moldrotha deck, you should definitely look into some of these land-to-hand artifact fetch sources for an additional ramp piece or two if you're looking to fill out your deck. And that'll about wrap up today's episode. I want to thank you for listening to my treatise on land-to-hand artifact fetches. Again, it's always great to be able to talk about all things Magic the Gathering. You can help me out by finding me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine and tagging me, or even just sending me a DM with any questions, anything you want to hear me talk about on the show, any guests you'd like to hear me talk to, et cetera, et cetera. Just let me know by tagging me at MTGInQuarantine on Twitter or sending me a DM. You can also find the back catalog of the MTG in Quarantine podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Casts, and wherever fine podcasts are found. So for the MTG in Quarantine channel, my name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day.